comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko. Joining me, as always, is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Hello, Greg.
How are you?
How are you? I'm good. I'm good. You know, one thing I forgot to do on the, or forgot to mention on the YouTube is that when I finish Justice, which I have only just a couple pages before I'm done, so that'll get finished this weekend, I did pick out already the next comic book that I will, actually technically two comic books, but they're very, very short and they're the same comic books kind of, but it's R.I.P.D.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know they made a movie about it, the movie did not do so well. I did not see it, but it did not do so well.
I did.
I figured as much.
I'm sorry. It's got Ryan Reynolds and that other guy.
Yes, and I forget his name also. very famous guy. We should know who he is.
We should.
And Ryan Reynolds, I'll be honest with you, is mostly in good stuff. He's done great work and everything.
Jeff Bridges.
Who is it?
Jeff Bridges. That's who I thought it was.
You know what? Okay, that brings up something else.
Obadiah Stane / the dude himself.
So, speaking of Jeff Bridges, recently I rewatched Hot Shots because it was on Hulu. Now, you remember Hot Shots, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, I'm watching Hot Shots. I wish they had Hot Shots for you on Hulu, but they don't. So I watched original Hot Shots, which I hadn't seen in 20-plus years, I think, it seems like. I still enjoyed it, but I was thinking, I was like, they would be great if they did Hot Shots Part 3 or Hot Shots Ménage à Trois, because that's three in French. I looked that up. But then I was – so
wait. Obviously,
yeah.
You had to look that up. Ménage à trois means.
Well, I was like, I didn't even think about it. I was like, I wonder what three in French is. So I did English to French translator, and it said trois. I was like, oh yeah, I know why.
I was gonna say it's un, deux, trois. That's all I know.
Okay, I was gonna stop there. You're gonna keep going.
I'm going to interrupt you, but I have to do it to catch this awesome 90s yep. reference. If it would have been part of a 90s alternative song, like Uno, Dos, Tres, Cuatro, Cinco, Cinco, Seis, then maybe I'd know more than three.
Understandable. Great song. But Beau Bridges, or I guess pronounce it B-E-A-U Bridges, was one of the characters on there. He played like the lieutenant, you know, guy, and I didn't put two and two together. I was looking up the cast, and obviously, for most people know this, that's Jeff Bridges' dad.
Yeah, so no, it totally is. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, if you were to do another Hot Shots, Jeff Bridges is about as old now as that guy was, or at least close. Like, I think Jeff Bridges is like 71 now. Granted, I don't think he's the same type of comedic actor as his dad was. Obviously a great actor, and yes, he can probably do comedy. He usually does do that spoof kind of comedy, but I would be interested in seeing it. Now, would I want Charlie Sheen in it? I don't know. I think there's, you know, no offense to that man. He has his troubles.
I'm going to have to stop you. Beau Bridges and the Jeff Bridges that we're talking about.
Is it different?
They are not father son.
Wait, what are they?
Brothers.
Because, no way!
Because Bo was born in 1941, and Jeff was born in 1949.
All right, so I'm just looking it up. It's not Bo Bridges. Hold on. It is a Bridges. It is a Bridges. And I don't know. Hold on. Okay, I'm looking at Pot Shots.
Me too.
Cast.
We're...
Come on. I swear it was Bo Bridges. I don't know why I just started
leaving. Lloyd Bridges.
I'm going to go to Wikipedia right now.
It's Lloyd Bridges.
Okay, Lloyd Bridges. He's a Bridges. Okay, Lloyd Bridges. You know what? Have Bo in there, too.
Why not? All the Bridges.
And you know what? If you're going to do a Hot Shots 3, you can have both Bo and Jeff Bridges do the same part, because why not?
It seems like it'd be that kind of movie.
Yeah. Lloyd Bridges, yes.
Grandfather of, father of Bo, Cindy, and Jeff.
Okay. Maybe that's why I thought of Bo, because I remember looking it up and seeing Bo and Jeff. Yeah, that's why.
How'd you like to be Bo Bridges and just be in the show? Like, he's had a terrific character actor, has had a nice career, but always in the shadows, man. Always in the shadows.
Bo Bridges, now that I'm looking at him, he is the guy that you see in movies. You see him a lot and you go, he looks familiar. But you can't go, like, besides looking at him, if I go up to, you know, people on the street and I go, hey, what was Bo Bridges in? I don't think they can name anything.
He was in, here's a recent one. In fact, some are calling it the best movie of the year. You can find it on Amazon Prime, and it's One Night in Miami. Are you familiar with that picture?
I am not familiar with that picture. I'm also... I don't know of anybody that said that's the best film.
So it's on Amazon Prime, as I mentioned. It is based on a stage play, but it is kind of the I don't know, plot or whatever the synopsis is. On the night of February 25th, 1964 in Miami, Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali, obviously, joins Jim Brown, Sam Cooke, and Malcolm X, and they discuss the responsibility of being successful black men during the civil rights movement. So it came out on Christmas. It's the directorial debut of Regina King from Watchmen and many other things. And again, it started as a stage play. So, but they are calling it. It is very highly rated, 4.7. Out of 5 on Amazon, that's with over 1,800 reviews, 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb, 4.6 out of 5 from, I guess, Google or wherever Google brings in their movies. So,
you know what else he has been in that I think you'll appreciate? A masterpiece. Free Willy, Escape from Pirate's Cove. Which, Greg, as you know, it is the fourth and final installment of the Free Willy film series.
I think it's funny that you expect me to know that.
That means that Willy, as far as I know, has escaped 3 times. I think he really just wants to get captured.
He was on a couple of Bo Bridges, by the way. It was on a couple of... varying degrees of success shows on the USA Network, White Collar, and which I enjoyed that show quite a bit, and Franklin and Bash, which starred Breckenmeyer and Mark Paul Gosselaar, and I enjoyed that. It had a little bit of a comedy feel. He was on that show. I mean, I'm not going to go. He has 207 items on his IMDb. I'm not going to name them all, but good long, you know. Career and obviously still going, as I mentioned, with the movie One Night in Miami. So if you don't know who we're talking about when we say Bo Bridges, Google him and be like, oh, damn, that guy. I know that guy. I recognize him for sure. So,
and everybody, stay tuned for our newest podcast, Bo Bridges Falling Down.
Oh, shit.
where we go over all of Vobrish's greatest hits. Look for that.
Oh, good night, everybody. We're not going to top that. We are not going to beat that the entire rest of the show.
Yep.
We should stop right there.
Okay. I know. I can only be funny so much.
God, that was golden. That was Mike.
Wolverine just falling down. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, a trademark or copyright or whatever Kevin Smith usually says to Nerds United. No one else can use that.
We need to get his permission and then put that on t-shirts.
Yes.
Or at least put that on t-shirts.
And you know what? I'll give Bo 2% of everything we make, because we're probably not going to make anything.
2% of the proceeds.
Yeah.
So 2% of the net, not the gross.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He knows better.
He should.
Yeah.
His agent's going to be knocking on the door. What the hell are you talking about, 2% of this net shit? We know you sold 4 or 5 of those shirts, and we won our $3.
Right, exactly.
So, okay. Mike, can we kick off the show the way we always kick off the show?
Oh, yes.
I want you to know, I secured this character days ago.
Okay.
Such is my excitement to bring this one to you, because it's relatively recent. This comic book character is younger than us.
Ooh.
Debuting in Marvel Comics in May of 1983.
Okay.
Created by Al Milgrom and Herb Trimpe, debuting under his own title. Do you remember a movie starring Sylvester Stallone called Over the Top?
Yes.
What was Sylvester Stallone? He was two things, really, three things if you include Father, which we're not worried about that. What was his claim to fame?
Arm wrestler.
Right. And what was like the grand prize of the arm wrestling tournament? Do you remember?
Hookers and cocaine?
You would think that because it was Sylvester Stallone in the 1980s, but you're wrong.
Exactly.
It was actually a brand new semi-truck hauler, okay. You know, over-the-road hauler. Must have been a very popular concept in the 80s, because our hero this week, again, from May of 1983, is US-1.
Okay. I'm assuming the number one.
The number one.
Okay.
As in, like, I don't want to give too much of it away, but you see the logo.
Okay, yeah.
It looks like U.S. Interstate 1, Route 1, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
The challenging life of the American trucker. Long hours, endless miles, tight deadlines, alien spaceships powered by raw chicken, black-masked, whip-wielding motorcycle villains, cybernetic skull implants that allow a driver to control his truck telepathically. The intent of US-1 was to excite kids' imagination about a set of collectible toy trucks. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, that seems like everything in the 80s. I'm not saying merchandise isn't a thing now, but it seems like everything in the 80s, from concept to whatever, was all about pushing toys on kids.
It was toys first, and then let's write a comic book about it.
Yeah. The toy line failed to materialize. However, US-1 developed a spectacular world of its own, a world centered on trucking. US-1 depicts Ulysses Solomon Archer, natural athlete and born genius. He's got it all. US, for short, seems to have a bright future ahead of him, but all he wants to do is drive a rig like his brother Jefferson. Ulysses and Jefferson, see, there's a...
Okay, yep,
They're really all about unity in the 80s. I don't know if you remember the 80s. The 80s were a very unifying time.
Absolutely.
The pair is driven off the road by the seemingly supernatural Highwayman, a truck driver who sends unsuspecting long-haul truckers to their doom. Jeff is believed dead in the crash, but U.S. makes it out, albeit in post-surgical possession of a high-tech metal shell replacing most of his damaged skull. There's no way I'm going to read all of this shit. Long-haul
truck. I know something about it.
Faces Baron von Blimp and his neo-Nazi soldiers, runs a deadly cross-country race hauling chicken parts at the behest of the checker-suited chicken colonel, and discovers his rig can be commanded telepathically, thanks to his CB skull. This was such a horrible idea. High adventure trucking down the highway. That's the tagline of the first issue. Why? Dear God, why?
Do you want to know something about this publication? It was, and I get this on Wikipedia, it was among the first line of books edited by Ralph Macchio. A different Ralph Macchio than what you
think of. I was going to be like, you serious, Clark?
No, but technically it was a Ralph Macchio.
Fair.
Who, he was a comic book editor and writer. He's got a Wikipedia page and everything.
Okay. Just so bad. Here's the thing, and I think we as nerds, we as like deep dive comic book nerds, like myself, and you're getting there, Mike. I'm not trying to cast dispersions.
I got you.
Are in the same in a similar boat as wrestling fans, in that, you know what, we want something different. Until you show us something different, like US1. And then we realize we don't want something different anymore. We want the same shit you've been feeding us for years.
Yeah. It's very, very, very true.
So, you know what? I after my Marvel app, Marvel Unlimited app, re-upped last fall accidentally. I didn't think it would because I didn't update my payment information. And Marvel's just like... You never canceled. We're just going to charge you.
Right.
So they did. So I canceled it then, but since I'd already paid, they're not like prorating me any money credit or anything like that. So I still have it till fall, whatever. I might look for U.S. Ulysses Solomon Archer just so I can say I did.
I mean, let's be honest. It's probably not going to be the worst comic book you've read. I know you've read Amalgam. Series.
Oh, what?
The what is it? The Amalgam?
Oh, yeah. The Amalgam universe? Yeah. No, come on now.
Yeah.
Be nice. That was a very specific snapshot. I'm looking for those books because that is a snapshot of a very specific time in comic book history, which I don't think we're ever going to see again. You're never going to see Marvel and DC come together and publish merged Amalgam characters. Now, I say that knowing full well that eventually Disney probably will buy DC from Warner Brothers and shit's going to hit the fan. But this is just like somebody actually looked at US1 and thought, that's a good idea. And that person was wrong.
Very true.
Mike, can I spend a few minutes talking about what's going on in my life right now?
Yeah, of course you can. Absolutely.
So, I don't know if people have noticed this far into the podcast, but I'm a little louder than normal. And the reason is because I don't have any sleeping child upstairs. I don't have any sleeping wife upstairs. My son, our son, is at Grandma and Grandpa's. My wife is in the hospital. We obviously have discussed on the podcast about how we're expecting... more children. I say that because if you are out of the loop, it's numbers 2 and 3. We're not due until middle of March. And late this past week, on Thursday to be exact, my wife says, I'm going to the doctor. I've been told to go in based on what I'm experiencing. And come to find out that she was in like preterm labor. And so she is at the hospital. They're doing everything they can short of, you know, like... putting a cork in it, I guess, which isn't a real thing, I'm being told. But, you know, to keep the babies in, because they're only 29 and a half weeks old, or in, and they need to grow some more. But that's why I'm a little bit more animated. I'm a little bit louder than usual. And I appreciate you spending time, as you typically do on a Friday night anyway. But I appreciate the distraction of recording and talking comics and things like that. Because last night I came home, ate dinner, which was pizza that I picked up, and then I took the wrong way home. So it was almost cold when I got, anyway. And then I sat and played video games for a little bit. So I'm trying to keep my mind busy because I've sat in the hospital for the last day and a half, and, that's not fun.
Yeah. Now, you just said that you want to get distracted, but I got to ask you this question anyway. Is it common or more common for people that have twins to go into labor early?
I think it is more common.
That's what I thought.
I didn't have the heart to make this joke in front of my wife, but our son was 5 weeks early, when he was born back in late 2015. Loyal listeners to the show may remember that first podcast after he was born, I think it was podcast. And so I didn't have the balls to say in front of my wife, well, you know, there's two of them, so they'll be twice as early. You know, that's yeah. that would not go over very well. So, but it is, in fact, her actual due date is April 5th. And the doctor already said, well, we're not going to let him stay in past this particular point in March. So, so that's it. We're just, you know, if we get through this weekend and there's no change, she gets to come home on bed rest. But if there's been, like, any change in the status, then she's just going to have to stay in the hospital until the babies are born. And that's going to suck because I still got to work and things like that. And obviously, you know, with the pandemic, like, I can't take our son to go and visit her, things like that. So it's just been me and her, and that's great. It's fun bonding time, and, you know, as fun as it can be when, you know, she can't really get out of the hospital bed. You know, she obviously misses being home and misses, you know, our son and me under normal circumstances, and, you know, just misses that freedom. She's not somebody who just lays in the bed all day. It's not ever been her style, so but she knows she has to do it. So we hope that she can come home, and then we hope that everything stays put for a few more weeks. But we trust the doctors and the medical teams there at the hospital in case if my phone rings while we're recording this, I apologize to all the listeners.
It's all right. I think people understand.
I'll be taking the laptop with me to produce the show and put it up from the hospital room.
No, we'll pause it, and then you go to the hospital room and just hit record again, and we'll record while it's going on.
Yeah. Hey, we'll let's put
she'll
that
love
on.
That.
Put that on the YouTubes.
Yeah, she'll love it.
Like, honey, look.
Come on, you can be YouTube famous. I love it. I just thought about it, and you might not. You might not be able to answer it or not want to answer it. That's totally understandable. Do you have names picked out?
Yes.
I'm assuming you don't want to say the names.
Correct. There are... Okay. Go ahead.
I'm also assuming that Michael is one of them and probably like Mike for the other one.
Well, it's funny because I asked our son... If we're just going to, you know, because do you remember the Bob Newhart show?
Yes.
Like, this is my brother Daryl, this is my other brother Daryl. So I asked, I said, should we name one of them, you know, his name, which I don't usually give out on the show, I don't think. And he's like, no. So he knows. I regret to inform you that Mike and or Michael were not selected this round.
You still have time to change. It's okay. It's understandable.
Ow, that hurts the
perfectly
cough.
Perfectly fine. No, hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, hopefully she gets to come home, and then you get her a little bell that she can ring anytime she needs you, and you come running.
I've seen enough classic sitcoms to know that doesn't end well for anybody. Like, realistically, though, where am I going to go? Like, this house is not as big as, like, the Brady Bunch house, you know, or the, I think they did it in Brady Bunch. I know they did it in Brady Bunch. I know they did it in Full House, too. Pretty sure where you're like, everybody's six. So, no, she can, you know, it's 2021, Mike. She can text me. She can yell. She's pretty good at that anyway. So, so anyway, I just wanted to give people a little peek into my real into my real life. Things are going on me personally. Sorry.
It's all right. And if you have to run, that's understandable. If you press stop recording, that's fine. If you just keep it recording, that's also fine. Either way.
I mean, it'd be really funny if I just... Here's the thing. Because I have to unplug everything from the laptop, it would like automatically stop the recording. But right. I'll start up a new one. I'm dedicated, Mike.
Yes.
So anyway, back on topic, on nerdy topic. You read a thing, and it spawned an idea.
I read Justice, which you can listen to me talk a little bit about in the YouTube video. Please like and subscribe and share and tell all your friends. But I was thinking, what are some comic book storylines that you would like to see turned into either a movie or TV show, whatever it is? Something that hasn't happened yet. So do you want me to go first? Because I have two of them.
You know, I actually think I have three.
Oh, okay.
So I would, with your permission,
yeah,
I'd like to attempt a first one.
Absolutely, go for it.
Okay. By the way, I think two. I will preface this by saying that my ideas are not original. Like, I'm not the first person who, you know, people hear, oh my gosh, that is the greatest idea I've ever heard. Like, somebody smarter than me has already had this idea, but I don't want to feel like I'm taking their idea. These are just stories that I'd really like to see. Also, for the purpose of this right now, I'm not including things like Avengers versus X-Men, which would be cool, but we're not there yet. And I think 10, 20 years down the road, we might get there. I can't imagine how much movie or how much money that movie would cost to make when instead of, you know, like one Thanos or, you know, a handful of villains,
right,
you have 10 or 15 Avengers, give or take, 10 or 15 X-Men, and I know that they can adjust it as they do. You know, they obviously changed Civil War and simplified that. I don't know. I'd kind of like it. An authentic Marvel Civil War story that harkens back to, you know, like more comic book accurate, if that makes any sense. So,
and I remember reading. I think I read Civil War. Yes, I did, and I read most of your tie-ins, I think, as well that you had. I'll say, very different from the MCU Civil War in the sense that obviously they didn't have a lot of the characters for a Civil War. I think if I remember correctly, I think even Peter Parker, he wasn't young anymore. He was older, like in his 30s, Peter Parker, I believe.
He was a veteran web-slinger.
Right, yeah, veteran. He wasn't a new guy. I think the basic idea of it was the same as far as the registration goes, sort of. You know, but yeah, they definitely took liberties with it. Granted, I liked Civil War, the comic book, and I love Civil War, the movie. But yeah, if you had a little bit more comic book accurate, that would be very interesting.
That's one that I almost think you have to do that one as a series. Like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't cram that much. But because of its complexity, because of its scale, they did Infinity War and Endgame. So, you know, to an extent, I have faith in them, but a lot of that's just we're throwing two massive armies at each other on a field somewhere, and it doesn't necessarily have some of that intimate nuance that the story had. But, you know, again, well, that's not, don't take that as a complaint.
No. And also, if I mean, if you go back in time and you change how they set up the different Marvel movies, then you can make it into a movie. You know, mm-hmm. But if they didn't do that, then obviously it would have to be a series and stuff.
All right, Mike, why don't you go?
Okay, so by the way, most of mine are, I'll say recency bias is a big thing because, one, I've only been reading comics, like getting serious into comic books less than a year, actually just less than a couple months, really. So all of these I've talked about on one, a very recent episode of YouTube, and one, a slightly recent episode on YouTube. We'll talk about the further back one, but that is Batman's White Knight. Now, if you don't know what White Knight is about, spoiler alert, but essentially Joker becomes sane. He takes these pills, or actually he's force-fed these pills by Batman, and he's no longer insane. He's normal, everyday Joe. And he kind of shows the world, or at least Gotham, how, I don't want to say bad Batman is, but like Batman has certain ways of doing things that most people wouldn't get away with. And I believe, if I remember correctly, he even takes him to court and shows like how much damage he's done and all this stuff. Now, the reason I would like to see that, besides just that right there, I would like to see, you know, Joker not crazy. Batman and Joker are already established characters. I don't think you need any lead up to this. If you're going to Batman White Knight, you know who Batman is, you know who Joker is. Also, as of right now, DC is kind of doing this thing where they're saying, like, hey, we don't need continuity. We can have two different Batman if we want. We can have two, three different Jokers if we want. So this that doesn't have to have any lead up. You can just go and show this story. Does it have to be comic book accurate? Not necessarily. But I would like to see, you know, Batman have to, I guess, kind of be accountable for what he does. You know? The only thing
Small claims court.
yeah, kind of. The only thing that's kind of, I'm not sure how I feel about it, is that you do somewhat sympathize with Joker, which we've talked about. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but hey, if it's just in one movie, and the next movie Joker is just an evil guy and it's a different character, okay, fine. And I only say you sympathize with him, you realize that what he's doing, even though he makes it seem like it, what he's doing isn't necessarily for the good of anybody. He is manipulating people. But there is a scene with Harley Quinn, and I know we've talked about this either on the YouTube or on a podcast. There's a scene with Harley Quinn where it's, you know, and when he's saying he's Jack Napier. So Jack is talking to one of the Harley Quinns, another spoiler, and he starts regressing back into Joker, and you could see, at least in the comic book, you could see on his face like how much he doesn't want it, and he really wants to be this person and stuff, but he's kind of going back and forth. And I kind of want to see that in a movie.
It'd certainly be great to see on screen. You know that, and you need a very talented actor to pull off. You know that, and you can't do it. Mm-hmm. You can't do a scene like that in that type of movie in the same vein that you did like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, where you have like different my precious and.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever, the two different camera angles and things like that, which were great for that. And it helped establish that there are really two different kind of warring factions. But this is more of like not two different necessarily personalities or identities, but it's one guy trying to keep control, you know, and keep the monster at bay type of thing. So,
yeah,
good one.
So, and like I said, you know, they could do this movie next year. If they really wanted to, and it's good for DC because, like I said, they're not doing any kind of like this is going to be, you know, all set up, and you know we need to establish these characters. Plus, it's Batman and Joker. You know these guys,
and
you
can do that movie on a shoestring budget.
Oh yeah,
there doesn't have to be a whole lot of super heroics and special effects and things like that.
No. So,
good one.
Kevin Smith can direct that one.
Yes, he could.
I give it to you, K. Smith.
All right. Let's see if all the dirt sheets get pick up on that. So my next one would be a very difficult one to do based on the fact that this character is already, spoiler, dead.
Okay.
On screen.
Okay.
You have to go back to 1979. The Invincible Iron Man and the Demon in a Bottle storyline.
Which they gave you a little snippet of it in Iron Man 2.
The drink that kept him alive?
No, with he had a problem with alcohol in Iron Man 2 for like a scene or two.
I don't remember that at all.
Do you remember the party that he was at, where he threw a party? He was in his Iron Man suit, and he said something. And he was obviously drunk. And then he was like, "Oh,
yeah. Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't know. I think that could be more fleshed out a little bit. I don't have a whole lot I don't have a whole lot of like in depth discussion on it. I think I'll save that one for my last one. Actually, I think I snuck a fourth one in on you, Mike, so I apologize.
That's fine. No, I'll say Demon in a Bottle. I have not read that. When I started getting into the Iron Man movies, at least, of course, I was always looking up stuff about it. And that was one of the most popular storylines as far as people wanting it in the movies. And if I don't, I'm like I said, I've never read it. I know a little bit about it. Obviously, it's him dealing with his alcoholism. There's probably more to it. That's the basics of it. That's one that's a lot of people are talking about. And they, like I said, they kind of teased it a little bit. But if they, I'm surprised they didn't flesh it out more or flesh it out more. But it also could have been they didn't want people to think of Iron Man that way. They wanted Iron Man to be this, you know, quippy guy who, you know, right, always does the right thing and stuff. But
and also, as I'm doing my research on the fly, which is what I do here, as far as the plot summary goes, it says a military tank hurled through the air strikes the wing of a passenger plane carrying Tony Stark. Now, to me, in the Iron Man movies that we've seen, the most unrealistic part of that sentence is that Tony Stark's on a passenger plane.
Right, right. He just flying coach.
Right. Not even an upgrade to business class. So, Demon in the Bottle is where I'm going. What's up your sleeve next, sir?
All right. Next, and my last one, is, like I said, it's recently by. It's literally the one I just read. Which is Alex Ross's Justice. Now, I will tell you, when I first started reading this, I had the idea. I didn't have the idea because of that book, though. In fact, as I was reading, I was like, I don't know if this could really make a good comic book story because it is a vast number of superheroes and villains. I mean, you got Hal Jordan, Brainiac, Martian Manhunter, you got Doom Patrol, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Cheetah, you got a ton of them. But as I'm reading more and more on it, I was like, this would be the end game for Justice, for Justice League. Because I was like, I would love to see a big group of villains versus a big group of good guys. Because I was thinking about Endgame. So obviously Endgame, you had a ton of Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy and, you know, and Black Panther's crew versus Thanos and the Chitauri, which are a bunch of nameless, faceless things. So what if instead of that, what if you had all the Marvel villains that we've seen already that, I mean, unfortunately they died, but let's say they didn't die. Let's say we had Ironmonger in there and Killmonger and, I'm blanking on a lot of them. Whoever was in Ant-Man, and you had all these guys, and they're coming back, and they're joining forces. that's what you could have. And now, this wouldn't be one that you would need a lot of setup to it. But if you made a Green Lantern movie where you knew who Sinestro was and you knew why he was bad, and obviously they had Wonder Woman and Cheetah, and you know why she's bad, sort of, I guess, if you think she is. And Solomon Grundy and all these characters, that is, if you did it right, that would be an amazing movie. And not only do they have the bad guys, but they have the bad guys who are manipulating some of the, I hate to say it, but like the B team of Justice League. You know, Supergirl and stuff like that.
Poor Supergirl.
No offense to her. That's the first thing I could think of. As I'm reading this, I'm kind of thinking, I'm like, I've seen so much of DC that I didn't even realize. Like, I knew it was DC, but I didn't put two and two together. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, Arrow. Obviously, you know, Green Arrow. He's part of – that's DC. He could be in the movies. Obviously, they've had Flash. Legends of Tomorrow, they could do that. Doom Patrol, they could do that. They have all this – they have the dots out there. They just haven't connected them yet into where it could be, you know, this huge movie, you know. So that's something, like I said, 10 years down the line, if they play their cards right, I would love to see it.
Just wait. That Flash movie is going to touch all points. No, I don't know if it will or not.
Or ruin them all. Who knows?
Yeah.
Either way, hit or miss.
So I have two left. One I'm more familiar with than the other, so I'm going to save that for, you know, another, or not for another, but for last.
Okay.
Up next, this one's definitely a series. It's definitely an episodic, and it's, I don't want to call it your, like, villain of the week type of thing, but imagine, like, Supernatural and the Winchesters, okay. If... Mm-hmm. It wasn't a show that dragged on for 16, 17 damn years and got over in a respectable amount of time. And that would be Hard Traveling Heroes, which is Green Lantern and Green Arrow taking a trip across America to rediscover America and find out what happened to the American dream. And right now...
I have never heard of that.
Well, Mike, you should. It's two of the greatest of all time, Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams, were creators of this. And I mean, they've done different iterations of it, but it basically, I mean, I think one of the famous lines, I hope I'm not wrong on this. But you have, I think a black man in, I don't know. I don't know if it's Harlem, but you know, let's say it's somewhere in America, and he's kind of ripping Green Lantern a new one. He's like, "Man, you're out there in space, and you're taking care of the Purple Man and the Blue Man and the, you know, whatever. What about here? What about, you know, the Black Man or in the I don't know exactly if he says the Brown Man. You know, I'm paraphrasing. It's not exact, but you know, it's a little bit of that because while Oliver Queen and Hal Jordan are always friends, they're always there's a little bit of animosity there because you have Hal Jordan who, you know, he's a space cop, you know, so he comes from that, I don't know if that mold, that doesn't sound, but you know, he's, I don't know, this might not be the best characterization, but he's like big picture. He's like, you know, space level threats, things like that, where Oliver Queen, Green Arrow is much more, you know, ground and, you know, while he's Oliver Queen and he's at one point very rich and I think later on in his story he's not so rich, things like that. He very much, I'm not trying not to bring politics, but he's very much more liberal minded, very, you know, I don't want to say, you know, for the common man, but he's philanthropic. He's, you know, I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So they have different ideologies and it's trying to, you know, they somehow are still friends. Hey, there you go, America. You can have different ideologies and still get along, okay?
That's right.
Jeez.
I get your head totally out of your understand ass. That. Yeah, I can totally understand that. You know, obviously from Green Lantern's point of view, like he said, he not controls, but he has to patrol all of space. So he might not be too worried about this one neighborhood when he knows, hey, there's about to be a planet that's going to blow up, so I have to deal with this. Whereas Green Arrow, he doesn't know about that. He doesn't have to care about that, but he has to live in that neighborhood, so he has to care about his own personal neighborhood. Neither one of them are wrong.
Right.
It's just how they see the world or how they see their duties.
Yeah, and, you know, so it's, you know, that would be, again, something for a series. You don't do that one in a movie. And then my last one is, I'm biased because I've met the writer. He has autographed this book. He's autographed a couple other of my books that he wrote, not that somebody else would write. That's silly. But in 2004, a 7-issue comic book limited series was published by DC Comics. The art was done by penciler Rags Morales and inker Michael Baer. The writer is Brad Meltzer. And one that I think you could do very well, Identity Crisis.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's the one, I believe, of Meltzer's Justice League run that you have not read. Am I right?
I was just going to say, because is that like the third in... Tornado's Path was one of them.
And
there's
then
something else.
The Lightning Saga.
Lightning Saga.
And then,
which, I read Lightning Saga first, and I was super confused, and then read Tornado's Path. So I have not read Identity Crisis yet, which... it's downstairs. Okay.
So I'm not going to get too far because I don't want to spoil it for you. It's look, you have all of these superheroes who have lost someone very close to them, and it very much becomes like a forensic murder mystery where, you know, you have Superman who has the powers of a god, and you have the world's greatest detective, and you have the Flash, and you have, you know, all Wonder Woman, but it's very set up as a mystery, to, you know, and the climactic reveal is one that, you know, like, unless you're paying the very closest bits of attention, I'm not sure that you see it coming until it happens. Maybe that's just because I'm, you know, people who have read it and listening to this right now be like, Greg, it was obvious. You're dumb.
So clear.
And maybe that's the case. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, that would make... I don't know if you could do that in one movie. I could see that as a miniseries. And I would take it. I would pay for it a couple of times over to see a live-action Identity Crisis. Now, you're not going to be able to get it, at least on CW, because they had to fire that guy who played Elongated Man. You know, but they had some of the other pieces in place. But, you know, I would take it, honestly, I would take it as a DC animated film.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You know, I'll say DC is okay with their live-action movies. They are very good with their animated movies.
First of all, how dare you? Green Lantern is the greatest comic book movie of all time.
The star of Green Lantern doesn't even like Green Lantern.
I think he didn't return that paycheck, did he?
I'll see. He likes the cash, yeah.
All right. So that's my list. I apologize, Mike, that it was a little longer than your list, especially when about right before we started rolling sound and you brought up this topic again. I'm like, oh, yeah. I didn't even think about
that. That's what we're talking about. What did you think we were going to talk about on the podcast?
WandaVision.
Oh, well, do you want to talk about WandaVision, the first two episodes at least? Or
so not? I've seen the first three.
Right.
As I'm sure you have. And since the time people listen to this, it's Saturday, I'm sure they have. But if they haven't, let's not spoil anything.
Okay, I'm going to try not to spoil anything.
I by that, I mean, plot points. Can I say, am I comfortable saying that Mrs. Foreman is in the first episode and actually a little bit in the second one? Yes, I'm fine with that. That was tremendous. If she would have been in the third episode, which takes place in that decade, it'd have been the best, you know, but that's okay. And apologize for all the spoilers. I still have to cough. Please hold. I'm still not entirely sure what's going on. Although, I have, at the end of the third episode, I have a little bit better of an idea.
Yes.
And I thought one thing going into, you know, the last few episodes, or last few minutes of that third episode, and the last, I guess, scene, or last, you know, few shots there, completely took my, you know, my preconceived ideas and turned them on their heads. I like the little aspects that, I don't know if we talked about this in the last week, but in the second episode, drunk Vision, or acting a little bit drunk Vision, like Paul Bettany is legit funny. Did you ever watch A Knight's Tale?
I don't think so.
Like Heath Ledger's in it, Alan Tudyk,
I've heard of it. I know it's very, very famous. Yeah, I don't think I've seen it, but I need to.
I think it's on Netflix, if you have the Netflix.
Okay. Yes.
Paul Bettany plays famed English author, famed medieval English author, Geoffrey Chaucer. Like, they take that real-life person, they kind of fictionalize him and bring him to life on the screen in that movie, and he's just tremendous, charming as can be in that movie, and I'm so glad to see him back and see him in that more expanded role, because as Jarvis, he didn't do a whole lot. He's like, oh, yes, sir, or system's failing, sir. I apologize, I don't sound like Paul Bettany, and I'm not British.
I thought it was Paul Bettany talking.
Thank you. And then as Vision, you know, again, he's still kind of robotic and in later aspects, you know, he evolves a little bit, but you know, look, I'm in for Paul Bettany. I'm a big fan of his work. I saw he was in a Tom Hanks movie years ago. And that was, Da Vinci Code. He was in Da Vinci Code. He played some type of monk in the religious sect Opus Dei, who, you know, when they fail, they get down and they like flog themselves. It was very weird. He plays Silas. I think the name of the character was Silas. I might be inaccurate on that. He was misled in that movie. The character was, but anyway, Paul Bettany, tremendous actor, and just really, really, I think enjoying himself in WandaVision. As is Elizabeth Olsen. So,
yeah. So I, same as you, I watched the three episodes. In fact, every episode I've watched at about 2 o'clock in the morning when it comes out. Now I will say this: I am not good when it comes to reviewing movies. I thought Wonder Woman 84 was amazing until the internet told me it wasn't.
That's why you don't listen to the internet, Mike.
No spoilers.
Wait. What did you think about Captain Marvel? Because I know the internet has strong opinions about that as well.
Yes. So also, when I first watched Captain Marvel, I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. And then the internet told me otherwise. But also, I did watch Captain Marvel again, and I'm like, it's not as great as I thought it was. It has nothing to do with Brie Larson. Brie Larson, if you're listening, I love you. It has more to do with writing. Yes, go ahead.
And I know we touched on Captain Marvel last week, but can I say, I was really appreciative, and thank you, Mike, for opening my eyes to the show Community and her, albeit small but recurring, role in the show Community.
Oh, by the way, if you watch Workaholics,
oh Jesus!
I finished the seven seasons. It's short. It's not like, you know, 20 episodes each. But on the series finale, there's a certain cameo of somebody you will know, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. You just have to watch all 7 seasons of Workaholics.
Granted, you could probably just watch the last episode.
It's not good. No, you won't understand it. You're like, what? What is going on? No, you would totally understand it.
Would the cameo be from somebody who sings Troy and Abed in the morning?
No. Hmm. It is from a superhero, I would say, movie or TV show that we've seen.
How did that have to do with Community?
Like, because I was talking about cameos.
You made just gigantic leaps there, Chief.
But still, you'll understand it if you watch Workaholics.
You know what you'll understand if you watch Letterkenny? Nothing.
How not funny Canadians are?
Shut up. We apologize to all of our Canadian friends. And all those other people who find Letterkenny entertaining and enjoyable. Anyway, back to WandaVision, okay. Mike. Jeez.
Hold on. Let me say something about Letterkenny. I watched like 4 episodes. Okay. So I don't know what episode it was. It's probably like one of the first or second episodes. But they did a thing that I call like Linorama type of thing, where you repeat, you do different iterations of the same line. You'll see this in a lot of like Judd Apatow movies, but it's in the behind the scenes. They don't put it in the show.
That's what makes it great, Mike.
And I was like, what are you doing? Like, that's, it'd be like if they just kept bloopers in the show.
Mike.
Yes.
Mike, I learned a long time ago from television genius, creative guru Eric Bischoff. When he was starting out as a head of World Championship Wrestling, and he's looking north at New York to the World Wrestling Federation, and he says, you know what, they've got this thing called Raw, and it's on Monday nights. Now, what are we going to do? We can't try to be like them, because everybody will make comparisons. They'll say we're either worse than or better than. But if we differentiate ourselves, if we make ourselves different, then we stand out. And that's what Letterkenny does. It stands out, Mike.
Not for good reasons. But what I got to do is I got to erase my mind of it and then try to watch it again after I've watched everything else. So.
What? He's like, I could watch Community for the 800th time. Mm-hmm. Or I can go watch Letterkenny. I guess I owe it to Greg to go watch Letterkenny.
Yeah. All right. So, back to WandaVision.
Jeez.
So we almost
got out of here under an hour.
I say this because I watched the first episode, and I'm a huge Marvel fan. I love Marvel. Marvel, for the most part, can't do anything wrong. But I watched the first episode, and I went, okay. Not that the scene was bad. It was one of those things that it was just something I was expecting one thing and I got something else.
You got something and I will say, different and then.
Yes. Well, hold on. I don't think this is a spoiler, but I'm watching the first episode and I'm going, okay, something's going to change here. There's going to be a little twist at the end because I don't know if I told you this or my son this, but I was watching it on my phone so I could I could obviously tap your phone and then you see how much time is left. I'm like, oh, there's like 7 minutes left.
Right, yeah.
So I'm like, something's going to happen because, and once again, I don't think this is a spoiler, but they kind of start doing the credits
right.
Or, you know, it kind of, end scene or whatever. And I'm like, okay, something's going to happen. There's going to be a spoiler. Nope, just 7 minutes of credits, which I totally understand. You, there's a lot of people that made it and that's awesome. But I went, huh. Now, luckily, they had the first 2 episodes out the first night. Second episode I watched, and I went from the first episode was okay, that's a show, and the second episode was okay, that's a show, but I'm interested in seeing the third episode. And this third episode was okay, not bad. I kind of want to see the fourth episode. I will say this by far is the most binge-worthy, from what I've seen, only 3 episodes, the most binge-worthy show that I cannot binge-watch.
Right.
Now, I know people are going to say that, oh, well, you can just wait until March. Obviously, you don't know me. I can't do that.
It's true. I know Mike. He cannot do that.
I don't have that kind of willpower. No. But also, like, even if you, people are going, well, you know, wait till this, you know, you can watch them all weekly and then rewatch them at the end. But by the end, it's going to be spoiled. I'm going to be like, yeah, I know exactly what happens.
So I watched the first two episodes last week. Actually watched them at work, but we keep that on the down low. And so with this new episode out, and a guy I work with said, hey, have you watched WandaVision yet? I said, no. He said, oh, okay, well, you might want to. It's relevant to your situation. I said, okay. So I had the laptop there at the hospital. I put it on this afternoon for us. I started episode one because my wife hadn't seen WandaVision yet. And thank God for her, she got a little bit of sleep. Like, she napped during the second episode. Watched the first one, fell asleep during the second one, which was good because I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but she's gotten up to the start of us recording tonight, or at least up to the point of me leaving earlier tonight. She had slept all of about an hour in over, you know, 20 since over she got there. So she needed the rest. I started watching the third episode, finished right before we started recording. But so I've rewatched all the episodes now, and I'm in agreement with you. It's a show that I just want to sit down and watch all of it. However, they took care of us with Mandalorian, so I'm hopeful that WandaVision will be more of the same. You know, we got all the other Marvel shows too. But WandaVision, there's something like, and I guess we find out a little bit about why there at the end of the third episode. But there's like a current of darkness kind of underneath the surface of the first couple of episodes. And then obviously you kind of find out why in the third episode, without spoiling, you know, they obviously can give more details, and I think we'll get those in the next episodes, but you're building up, and I'm okay with the slow burn. Like, I know a lot of the comments that I've seen online are like, oh gosh, these are the most boring. I'm never going back to WandaVision. So boring. I'm like, if we take away, you know, Spider-Man Far From Home, then the last thing that they got from Marvel is Endgame, which is not a slow burn. That's pretty much in your face the whole time. So I'm okay with this building up a little bit. And it's, I think, 9 episodes long?
Yes, yeah, I believe so.
So if the first 5 or even the first 6 have this and then, you know, it's bang, 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 you know, for the final 3, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't need to have, you know, action right away in my face. That's not the generation that I'm from. You know, I like a little bit of story and not just, you know, you can have the great CGI battles or whatever, but you need to have the story that you just can't have all in your face action the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing about this is I believe it's set up to where, like, when this ends, maybe it's like a week or two later, Falcon and Winter Soldier begins, and that goes for 6 episodes, and then something else starts.
Loki?
So we're going to get a lot of weekly Marvel.
There you go.
By the way, I also thought, would it be really rude if when your wife was falling asleep, you shook her awake, and you're like, honey, look, come on, WandaVision, it's on. Would she have been appreciative?
The way that she was positioned on the hospital bed and where the laptop was, I was actually behind her, so I didn't get up and know that she was asleep. She wasn't snoring. Honey, if you're listening, you were not snoring, but she was breathing the deep breaths of someone who was finally getting some rest.
Yeah.
Definitely not snoring.
Of course not. Yeah,
no,
absolutely not.
She does not snore. I'm sorry. I couldn't. She totally snores. Just she wasn't.
Oh, she. Luckily, she doesn't listen to this.
God knows she doesn't. Although she's in the hospital, so it's not like she's going anywhere. I just put it on. Put it on and put it just out of reach.
Right, right.
You're like, honey, listen to this. All right, so anything else, Mike?
Nope.
Okay. My dog's coming over here, which means it must be time to wrap this show up. We want to thank all of our sponsors, so thank you. And next time we'll name you when we have some. And make sure that you share the podcast with the people that you talk to every day on Facebook and Twitter and things like that. And love on each other. I mean, not in any weird way, if that's not your thing. Love each other.
Unless you want to.
I mean, hey, if they're consenting adults, yeah. Consenting adults, love on them. Be good to one another. This is Nerds United, jittermonkey.com. My dog says hello, and she also says take me outside, so that's where I'm going. My name is Greg Mahochko. He's the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. And we're out of time. So be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.